Let's bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we are all in deep need of a Redeemer, someone to speak into our lives and guide us on the right paths of righteousness. Without you, Lord, we are lost. And Lord, as you move in our lives, we are then called to be the hands and feet of Christ for our neighbor, for our family, for all those around us. Lord, let us scatter the blessings you've given us to help those around us for your glory. We pray this, Almighty God, in your holy name. Amen and amen. In the book of Ruth, two major terms come out. The Hebrew word hesed, for loving kindness, and the Hebrew word for goel, for kinsman redeemer. Your Bible might call it a guardian redeemer, a family redeemer, guardian. But the concept is all the same. It is a word that does not simply translate into one word that we have in English. It is the big brother or big sister who protects their little brother or sister on the playground from bullies, or protects the other little children, whether they're family or not, from those who take advantage of them. It is the parent who advocates for their child, who makes sure that they get the best education, regardless of the circumstances, who helps them out with their homework, who helps them fill out their ACT application or their dorm room or their college or their first application for a job as they begin their career after high school. It is that parent who comes alongside and encourages and pushes and works with their child. It is that grandparent who steps in for their grandchild because sometimes the parent needs help. Maybe it's a single parent, or maybe the parents aren't even available, and so the grandparent now becomes that redeemer, that parent. It is the parent who adopts a child, who works in foster care, who looks out for those who are the defenseless, those who are the fatherless and the motherless, and comes alongside them. They are that redeemer. They are taking care of their family. That was the job that we read about for Boaz. He was to take care of those who couldn't help themselves, who needed someone to come alongside. In the story of Ruth and Naomi, we saw two widows. They needed help. They had both lost their husbands. They had no children to take care of them. They were alone. There was little they could do. We see it in our society today too. Yes, there are those who would take advantage of the system, those who would squander what's been given to them, and it's difficult to deal with those individuals. But there are those other individuals who truly are downtrodden. Life is not fair. Why is one person blessed? The job opens up. The career opens up. Their children grow old. They grow old together. And then Ruth, Naomi. Naomi loses her husband. She loses her sons. Ruth lost her husband, married for 10 years and no children. Why this? And why not that? I don't know. I don't know how the unseen hand of God works. But I do know this. When we see those people, we are called to be their kinsman redeemer, their guardian redeemer, to step in as the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Those who have been given much, who are blessed, are called to scatter to those who have less, those who are truly in need. This is truly the heart of the book of Ruth. We see those people who are in deep need. We see the hand of God seemingly disappear. Naomi said, "I'm bitter. Change my name to bitter." Can you blame her? Everything's taken away. Famine drove him away. She becomes a widow. She loses her sons. Ruth follows her, but how much could Ruth help? Ruth goes in the fields to work because Naomi can't. But then we also see in the book of Ruth the unseen hand of God in ways we wouldn't imagine. They just happen to go to the field of Boaz. Boaz just happens to bless them. No, it just didn't happen. It is the unseen hand of God throughout the book of Ruth that we see. And although I can't explain the tragedies of life, we know that God is always there with us. Ruth, in a sense, was a redeemer for Naomi. She couldn't go into the fields by herself at her age. Boaz was a redeemer for Ruth. Others would not take up that call. Ruth did. Boaz did. Will we do the same? Who has God called you to look out for? If it's your children, it's obvious. If it's your grandchildren, it's obvious. If you're a school teacher, it's obvious. But yet, as we see, even those in obvious situations don't always take up their role. And then where are the less obvious places that God would call us to come alongside and be a guardian for those who are defenseless, those who are motherless and fatherless? So we move from Ruth and Naomi to the story of Boaz, as we read this morning. Before this scene, Ruth had gone to visit Boaz. Naomi had instructed her to meet with Boaz, to say, do whatever he says. But Ruth went rogue and went further than Naomi ever could have imagined and basically proposes to Boaz. And he accepts. But Boaz is kind of coy because he goes, well, don't let anybody see you here. And people think, wow, it's scandalous. It's at night. And yes, there is that romantic tension there. But that wasn't the issue. Some try to make it more of a soap opera, sordid tale. But it's really on the up and up. I'm not saying there wasn't sexual tension between the two. But we're told that they are acting in righteousness. And there's a reason for Boaz acting in the coy sense that he does. Because Boaz goes up then to the town gate. And he says, come over here, you unnamed man. No matter which version of the Bible you have, NIV, King James, New Living Translation, he is unnamed. And it's purposeful. It is one of those slights. Sleight of hands. And the text is saying, your name is not worth mentioning because you won't do what you're supposed to do. So you unnamed dude, sit down. And he even admits, okay, if this is what I'm supposed to do, I don't want any part of it. I was going to take it if it was good for me. Now, we don't understand what they call the levirate marriage. It was a custom in the Bible, the Old Testament, and throughout the ancient Near East, that if a brother died, the other brother would step in to continue his family line. It seems bizarre and strange to us. It was normal back then. But he didn't want to do what he was supposed to do. He didn't want to take care of Naomi, the old widow. He didn't want anything to do with the Moabite woman. But Boaz says then, I will redeem it, even though you won't. Because he goes, he drops the bombshell. Then on the day you buy the land, you get also acquire Ruth the Moabite. And it's like he stresses that, the foreign woman. And so the man, the unnamed man, Mr. No Name, says, you take it. And he says, I will. So, and here's the issue. Why was Boaz coy and on the down low when he tells Ruth, don't let anybody see us here at night because I got business dealings the next day? It's really kind of obvious once you know the story. Because if Boaz doesn't get the land, this guy will. And he wants the land, and he wants Naomi, and he wants to marry Ruth. Well, if this guy knows that, well, he could kind of manipulate. Well, you know, if you want Ruth, well, you know, you got to deal with me. And it's like this. Oh, I can take all the land, and I can take Naomi, but you got Ruth. So I don't have to worry about her because I know you want to marry her. And so he plays it against them. So Boaz, being the shrewd businessman he is, keeps it on the down low. But then, the man who is unwilling to help his family, unwilling to do what he is supposed to do, gets burned. He says, buy it yourself, and he removes the sandal. And then Boaz drops the hammer. Then Boaz announced to the elders, today you are witness that I have bought from Naomi all the property of her family. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, a widow, as my wife in order to maintain the dead with his property. Today you are a witness. And he's thinking, man, I got took. Well, did he? Was he a bad guy? In a sense, yes. He refused to do what he was supposed to do. Because he wasn't looking at it as, what's the right thing to do? I mean, let's face it. If you're an adoptive parent, what's in it for you? Even if you're a parent. You know, every kid's probably said this. I said this to my dad once. You just had kids so you'd have somebody to work. Oh, yeah, because you're worth it. Yeah. I'm getting about $300,000 of labor out of you in the next 10 years. You know, as a parent, you look back and laugh at it. I mean, what's in it for you to have kids? And we have a society now that is like, yeah, what's in it? I just want to play and live my life and take vacations and do things and not be strapped down. Or how could you have more than one or two kids? I don't care how many numbers you have, but the issue is we look at children as a different way. They're almost like a liability now instead of a blessing. Well, they've always been a liability, I admit that. I see the liability I was to my parents now that I have my own children. When I see, you know, my kids act up a certain way, I go, how did my mom put up with me that way? Because I know the kid got that from me. But why? Why would you do it? And that's what this Mr. No Name's like. Well, why would I do it? Because you're supposed to. You're supposed to be the guardian redeemer. You're supposed to be the family redeemer. You're supposed to look out for the fatherless and the widow. That's your job. That's what God taught Israel. And he's like, nah, it's not going to be financially good for me. If you adopt kids, if you take in foster kids, if you have kids, let me tell you something. It's not financially good for you. You don't sit down and sit there and say, yeah, as we do our long-term planning with our certified financial planner, you know, what's the return on our kids? And they're going to look at you like, what? Yeah, what's the financial return on our kids? Oh, emergency rooms, appendix, wisdom teeth, college. Some won't leave the house. If you're looking for a financial return on your children, you're in the wrong business. Oh, but what a blessing they are. They're worth all $300,000. You may never recoup it in gold, but you'll recoup it in love. And this man doesn't see that. All he sees is dollar signs. When God says, no, you're supposed to be hesed, loving kindness. You see, to be the goel, the kinsman redeemer, requires hesed, compassionate. And this hesed is looking out for those who, again, can't help themselves, like the family redeemer. Someone who couldn't do it needs the compassion, needs someone to be loyal and come alongside them. And it's not just a job. You care for them. They mean something to you. Your life is invested in them. It's not 8 to 5 and then you leave. You talk about healthcare workers. You talk about school teachers, people in those kind of jobs. They don't just get off work at 5 and leave it at the door. You'll hear them talk about patients, and you'll see the pain in their hearts when the child fails or the patient dies. Let me tell you something. The IRS doesn't think that way about you. They just want to know if the check's signed and if there's more money they could get. Okay, I shouldn't really pick on the IRS, but it's so easy. But when you see someone in their profession, whether it's healthcare, teaching, parenting, you're invested. You care about that person. They matter to you. They're not just a job. When I used to haul hay for a farmer, it was just a job. How many thousands of bales could we haul? And if the equipment broke down, we didn't care. We were still getting paid. But when I hauled hay for my dad, it's like, we got to beat the clock. We got to get it in. We need this hay. If I don't do it, nobody will. My dad's dependent on me. The shear pin breaks. The skid breaks. We got to fix it. We got to get going. We got to move because it's ours. And I'm invested in my father. And I want my father to be successful. He wants to get this hay in, so I want to get the hay in. And if he doesn't get it, I don't get it, and it hurts. It's personal. When you work with kids through 12 years of high school and they go sell drugs, it's personal. You care. That child matters to you. Society might just throw them away and say, well, another lost cause. But if you were their teacher for 12 years, you break inside. That's a sin. That's loving kindness. That's what Boaz did. That's what Ruth did for Naomi. That's what Boaz did for Ruth and Naomi. That's what we're called to do. We all need a redeemer. Some of us just don't know it. Life's so good, we don't realize how broken we are. And I hesitate to use the word types, like Ruth is a type of Christ. Boaz is a type of Christ. Rather, what I say is they acted in a Christ-like manner. In the Old Testament, they acted in a Yahweh-type manner, a compassionate, caring father and mother to the fatherless and motherless. And we are called to do the same. First of all, we're all called to realize we need a Redeemer. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. I'm all for going to church. I'm all for volunteering next Saturday for feeding the poor and the helpless. But that isn't salvation. That's a symptom. A result of salvation. We are all called to call on Jesus Christ and say, I am broken and I need a redeemer. And without you, I'm lost. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's gospel. The word means good news, is we need Jesus Christ. And it's sad. Sometimes things are so good, we don't realize we need a redeemer. We don't realize how mortally frail we are. How short life can be, how transient good health is, how weak our finances are, no matter how much money is in the bank. You can read throughout the history of the United States, whether it's the great crash of 29, or some of you might remember Enron. One day, you're 65 years old and you're already retired with millions of dollars and see America, buy an RV and vacation, and the next day it's all gone. And you're working till, well, you're just working for the next 10 years when you thought you were going to retire. You don't know how transient life can be. We all need a redeemer. We all need someone to come alongside. I love the story as it ends in verse 11 of 4. Then all the elders of the people of the gate said, "We are witness. May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah." Leah was the unwanted sister, the unwanted bride, and yet here she gets elevated to prominence. God takes what is broken and lifts it up. "Who together built up a family of Israel. May you have prosper and become famous. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." Tamar, her story is a rated R soap opera. God lifts her up, redeems her. She is broken, and his loving kindness, and he redeems her. Look who's listed: Leah, Tamar, Ruth, the Moabite, the foreigner, Naomi, the woman who lost it all and was bitter. They're all given prominence. The unseen hand of God is moving often when we think it isn't. When Naomi lost her husband and called herself bitter, she didn't see the hand of God. And you can't blame her. But yet God was there. She had to have been a witness, her and her family, to Ruth, because she comes in not just to become an Israelite, but to become a follower of Yahweh, God Almighty. And this is what happens. Then the women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord who this day has left you without a guardian redeemer, maybe become famous throughout Israel." Who has not left you, excuse me, without a redeemer. She felt at one time she didn't have one, but now they say he has not left you. "He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better than seven sons." This isn't a patriarchal, you want to have sons society. Better than seven sons. That's a high compliment to Ruth. They realized she was acting as a redeemer, giving Ruth. Ruth was giving Naomi loving kindness, being a redeemer. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son." Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David, the king of Israel, the line of Jesus Christ. Through the hand of Ruth, through the hand of Boaz, God is building his kingdom, and it all leads to Christ. These people's actions at the time seemed worthless, fruitless. Oh, there's a Moabite woman just taking care of another helpless widow. Oh, there's Boaz. He just thinks Ruth is cute, just wants a wife. And God lifts it all up. We see the loving kindness of these people. We see them redeeming, coming alongside. And we see salvation is brought through Jesus Christ. We as a church, when we do next Saturday's meal, we are acting as a kinsman redeemer. When we have our bottle, baby bottle campaign, the baby bottles are out in the foyer for the Midwest Pregnancy Care Center, and put our spare change and coins in there, blessing them. Indirectly, we're acting as a redeemer, showing loving kindness. When we give to Genesis, that is our food bank here in town, or to the Coffeeville Alliance of Ministry, kind of an offshoot of Genesis, that helps those in need and not just comes alongside to help them, but to build the people up, help them find jobs, help them take care of their grandchildren, help them change their lives. We're acting as a redeemer in loving kindness. And it can be difficult. It can be scary working with people you don't know. John F. Kennedy said this: "If not us, who? If not now, when?" And he also said, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be a stronger people." We saw in this video school kids demonstrating loving kindness and looking for those without. And Ronald Reagan was right when he said, "We can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone." Those children were the Goel, the kinsman redeemer for that child. They acted not because they had to, but because of a sed, a loving kindness and a compassion. The heart of the book of Ruth, now calling us today to respond to Christ and be his hands and feet to a community that is in deep need of Jesus Christ. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we finish this book of Ruth, seeing your loving kindness demonstrated through other people, seeing you are our great Redeemer and how other people act on that and redeem others, let us too respond, Father. That in the grace and mercy, the loving kindness you've given us, how you redeemed us, that we would then reach out, that we would scatter, that we would bless others out of what you've given us, and that we would be the aroma and ambassadors for Christ that you call us to be. We pray this in your holy name, Father, our God, our Creator, empowered by your Holy Spirit, in the name and character of Jesus Christ. Amen.